A lawyer and a certified divorce financial analyst all in one? Who could ask for anything more? It's definitely going to help you in your divorce. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Divorce Resource Guy podcast with Jason Lavoie, a.k.a. the Divorce Resource Guy, a former divorce attorney turned divorce coach, talking about all things divorce, including the good, bad, and the ugly from an attorney's point of view. Remember, you're not alone. And now, your host, Jason Lavoie.
Welcome everybody to episode 129 of the Divorce Resource Guy podcast. I am your host, as always, Jason Lavoie, aka the Divorce Resource Guy. And today we're talking with not only an attorney who's practiced law, but also a certified divorce financial analyst. Now, I've had different guests on this podcast who are financial advisors and certified divorce financial analysts, but I don't think I've ever had anybody who had both credentials in one. And so that's what we call one-stop shopping, everybody. Gabrielle Clemens is that person. She's an award-winning managing director, wealth advisor, and senior portfolio manager with over 25 years of experience in wealth management and divorce planning. As a former tax, trust, and estate planning slash divorce attorney who has experienced divorce firsthand herself, Gabrielle guides women and men through their unique process as they contemplate, navigate, and recover from going through a divorce. Let's get right to it, everybody. Look her up at the end if you want. Her credentials are second to none, so I'm not going to focus on that. I just want to get right to the conversation on how Gabrielle can help you navigate your divorce. Gabrielle, welcome to the show. How are you? I'm excited to have you as a guest.
Thank you, Jason. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The first thing I want to ask you before we get into your book is tell everybody who's not familiar with you a little bit about you, your backstory, kind of the path you took to get to where you are today.
Sure. I went to law school after spending a number of years in Europe in the real estate business, came back, went to law school, and really enjoyed tax and trust and estate work and family law. So I spent a lot of time in clinics and working as an intern with the court process and also with law firms in that capacity. And when I started to practice law, I got a master's in tax, and now I'm in tax, which is a graduate tax degree. And I really enjoyed trust and estates, family law, but I didn't like working around the issues of children. And so when I had my first son, I have two, my first one's 26 now. But when I first had him, I decided to transition from the practicing in the legal field to working on the financial transactions in the divorce process, helping create the deals, work out the numbers, especially with complicated and complex executive compensation packages and higher net worth assets. But I work with everybody, and I truly enjoy it. And just coming to the process with a background as a family law attorney, understanding this challenge that everyone's going through, picking the right process, making the best decisions you can with the information that you have during the period of time that you're going through, which is very challenging, really is what I enjoy doing, and helping people through it and having this kind of background, legal background as well as financial, makes it a natural niche for me to be working in. So that's how I got here. I'm really enjoying it. I enjoyed writing the book. I sort of wrote itself given my 25 years of experience, and I'm so excited to be here to talk to you about it.
Yeah, your background is really the first word that comes to my mind is extensive. You know, you have a lot of initials at the end of your name, and you know, it's not often that you find somebody who goes to law school, practices as an attorney, and then also gets the credentials on the financial side of things. So you really have a full complement of experience and education, which is great. You know, it's so helpful for your clients, I'm sure, and puts what you do into context that you can use every day. Now, your book, Marriage is About Love, Divorce is About Money. Love it. Got it right here. I wanted to ask you, what was your motivation for writing the book?
Well, you know, I really wanted to put on paper all of the things that I knew and that I understood, and people keep asking me day in and day out the same questions. And you know, there are different answers. The first few pages in the book, one of the first preambles is, you know, it depends. And we all know that when it comes to the legal process, when it comes to the financial markets, your decisions that you make, they're all, it depends. And everyone's situation is different. Everyone's divorce is different. Everyone's process is different. So when people try to take their process and say, but my sister did it this way, or my best friend did it this way, or my cousin's uncle did it this way, it's, you know, it gets very complicated, and it's hard. You can't compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So I spend a lot of time with my clients and in groups and lecturing around, you know, there's so many different options, and there are things that you have to see, that options and components of this process that you have to figure out what works best for you with your spouse and your family. And so this was really a project of love and putting it all on paper so people can flip through it, because as you're going through the divorce process, you just don't have the capacity to internalize all of the answers that people are giving to you. You have so many questions, and every answer brings up another three questions. And just to put it all in writing in this, what, 264 pages that you can highlight, you can bookmark, you can go back to, you can go ahead. You know, a lot of times people say, well, how is this all going to end up? Or what happens next? Or what do I do about, you know, this next, in the next part of this process when I'm single? And I put that in the book as well. It's set up to be before, during, and after. So you can get a sense of everything that's going to happen, the choices that you're going to be required to make or asked to make, and then start to see the whole global picture as opposed to step by step, because the decisions that people make in the beginning of the process are going to have a huge impact on the end of the process.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about your book is that it's so easy to jump around. And I do the same thing with my divorce resources. I have a digital course where I encourage people, because everybody enters and everybody's at a different stage. And so you can jump around and go to what's relevant for you right now. And your book makes it so easy to do that. And the other thing I love about how you structured it is that you have this kind of running theme throughout the book about, you know, you should always be thinking ahead and thinking about, you know, I believe you refer to it also as your post-divorce life, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want afterwards? Envision it now, right? Be able to, and that's what I do with my clients, you know, kind of, you need to be able to articulate what you envision your dream post-divorce life to be, because that will guide you now and guide you through the divorce and every decision that you make, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, chapter three has a lot about thinking ahead. And one of the points is, you know, what are you trading this marriage for? Why are you doing this? Maybe you've been asked to have a divorce. Maybe your spouse has asked you, maybe you've asked them, but really, where is this taking you? Where do you want to be at the end of this process? And let's start there and build back a little bit and see how we can get there. And what there is going to change over time. Just because you say today, and that's okay. And that's why I recommend that everybody build a vision board, because a vision board is, you can actually, it illustrates, and it will set in ways, you know, visually, that you can look at this on a daily basis. And when you see something that inspires you in a magazine, or you pick up a business card, or you pick up a flyer somewhere and you say, oh, I really want to go to Nashville. I've always wanted to go to Nashville. So-and-so didn't want to ever go to Nashville. And now I want to go, and you can put that on the vision board. And that's the first weekend you're going to spend in Nashville of your post-divorce life. And you can look forward to that. And because if you try to organize all of these thoughts and aspirations as you're going through this process, you're going to lose sight of that. You can't physically or emotionally process it that way. You have to put it outside of you, remember why you're doing this, and take care of yourself and remind yourself that, you know, you deserve these things, you want these things, you can have these things. You just have to organize it.
Yeah, I love the visual, the board, especially for visual learners, right? And having that constant reminder of your goals and your dreams. And again, right, as things kind of got crazy and hectic in your life, you always come back to that, and hopefully it helps recenter yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's great. Now, one of the other things that you say in your book is that, and I say this to my clients when I coach, I think it's pretty similar, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But I always tell my clients when I coach them, you know, ideally you want to treat your divorce kind of like a business transaction, right? And you kind of say, I think the same thing in your book, especially, and you have it in the title, you know, when you say a divorce is about money. So, you know, sometimes I get into discussions with people about, well, a divorce, okay, is about money, but, you know, if you're dealing with kids and custody, and what about all the emotions that are intertwined? You know, how do you deal with that? So, like, where do you put that in context in the overall process when you were writing this book about, you know, treating divorce about, like, it's about money, but then what do you do with all the emotional stuff?
Well, you have to build your team. You have to have your therapists, you know, on your team. You have to have your financial person and your attorney. And truly, don't use your financial person as a therapist. Don't use your therapist as your attorney. Don't use your attorney as your financial person, because the whole point of having a team and assembling a team just for you is that when you're struggling about your children having a hard time, you know, managing this transition, then you go to your therapist who's on your team. That's something that they are uniquely trained for and they can help you with. Sometimes I work with therapists and help them with these issues. I will come to the table. I will go to the therapy session, and we will work through some of the, you know, the psychological and financial issues associated with divorce, with respect to children and other you know, financial matters. But it's really assembling the league of professionals that you can call upon throughout this process to give you advice and to give you guidance and to truly be there for you for when you need it. But you have to, you know, everybody has to sort of stay in their lane, because again, you don't want to be using your attorney at how many hundreds of dollars an hour as your therapist when they're really not qualified to do that. And I'm not, you know, qualified to be a therapist to someone the way a true, you know, psychologist or psychiatrist would be. So that's what I recommend. Is the first thing I say in my book is get a therapist, get your team. First things, get a therapist, then start putting the rest of your team together.
And I'm so glad that you come up with that approach, the team approach, because that's how I do it too. You got to have your, I call it your divorce team. And most people don't approach divorce like that. Most people think all they have to do is get an attorney and they're done with it. And that's a way to do it, but that's not the ideal way to do it. Because, and when I practiced, I did that, right? I as the divorce attorney, I would often find myself playing therapist on the phone. And I would tell my clients, I said, I'll talk to you for as long as you want, but I'm not a licensed therapist, as good as I might be. But, you know, and that you should really use your resources for the right people. And you let the attorney do the legal work, your therapist do the emotional work, the financial person do the finance, right? Everybody, like you said, stay in their lane. And I always find it, you know, people just don't naturally think that way, that you need a team approach for divorce. But I really believe you do. Now, that's kind of a good transition into what I wanted to ask you next. And that's, you know, you kind of mentioned in your book, when you're talking about finding an attorney, right, that it's important to find the right attorney for your divorce rather than just go out and hire, you know, your brother-in-law's attorney that they used for their divorce. And that's a common issue that I know I deal with. I'm sure you do too, is that people, like you said before, want to compare their divorce with somebody else's, friends, family members. And we shouldn't do that, because no two divorces are alike, no matter how similar you think your life is to somebody else's. So how do you encourage people to find that, quote, right attorney for their divorce?
Well, I think they need to talk to a number of attorneys. And I think it's also important to really nail down what is a priority for you. So people with special needs children, I mean, I've seen this happen often, that you need an attorney who really understands special needs planning. I mean, it's a very different financial commitment. And, you know, in Massachusetts, people can, you know, they no longer have to support their children after age 23 if they're still dependents, but a special needs child may always be a dependent. So we have to set up other types of, you know, special needs trusts and things like that for their benefit, or work to get them some, you know, federal and state benefits. But to have an attorney who can work with a global settlement to include some of these ancillary issues when a family is separating physically and financially, how that is going to truly work out in reality, in practicality. So I think if that's something that's important, you need to find a divorce attorney who's about special needs, or other types of, you know, some people want a woman, some people want a man, some people, you know, one of my questions is, you know, who was your spouse hired? What type of attorney did they hire? And who was the right match for that attorney? Is it, you know, some top-notch, highfalutin litigator, or is it, you know, some small-town person who does trusts and estates and family law and a little bit of mediation and some, you know, insurance work on the side? I don't know. But, you know, what do you need? Maybe you don't have a lot of assets and you don't need somebody very, you know, overly skilled for your case. So it's really sort of setting up where you are geographically. Do you need somebody in the city? Can you have somebody outside? What's your budget? And who feels as though who feels good to you? Who do you have a connection with? And one of my first questions these days to ask, I recommend everybody ask their attorney and get it in writing, and certainly have them verbally affirm, you know, answer the question, do you have time for my case? Because if they don't have time, they could be the best attorney for you. But if they're not focused on your case, you're not going to get the best of the skill set of that attorney. So you have to find somebody who has time for your case and can handle it and manage you, and not just bring you in and then send you off to an associate, which is fine if you understand that that's what's going to happen. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how the legal business can work, and that's okay. But just know what you're paying for, what you're bargaining for, and who you're getting ultimately to represent you, because yep, the person you're hiring may be giving your case to a junior associate, and that may not be what you expected.
Right. That's a great point. And especially with larger firms, that happens more. You know, you just want to understand what the dynamic is going to be. It's not that it's better or worse in any way. Yeah, I've worked in firms that had structures like that. And so if you have an initial interview with the, you know, I'll refer to them as the named partner, right? The face of the firm, you just want to ask and clarify on a day-to-day basis, who's going to be working on my case? Is it going to be you? Or is it going to be the associate? Now, there's a lot of benefits to having an associate doing the day-to-day stuff, because they usually charge a substantially less rate on an hourly basis. But you want to make sure that the name partner, so to speak, if you need them, are accessible, and they'll be there if and when necessary, right? To either go to court to argue something or review something. You just don't want the associate to do everything if you feel that you need access to the named partner. So again, it's a very case-specific situation, but you just want to understand what the dynamic is before you sign any retainers and dump your money into something, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for many people, other than maybe purchasing their home and using a closing attorney, they've never experienced what it's like to be involved with a lawyer or a law firm. And they just don't expect that. They think they're getting the named partner, they're paying the price. And they're disappointed or surprised when they get handed off to somebody on a lower level. Granted, it's cheaper. Maybe they take more hours. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just want people to be educated and aware of how the business works. That's why it's my subtitle is The Business of Divorce. This, you know, divorce is a business in this country and probably every country. And so you just have to understand how the business is structured. And you want to make sure going in before you commit that you have the right firm, the right attorney, and you understand the right structure. Because at that point, maybe you want to go to your downtown, you know, your small town, downtown family law practice. And that could be perfectly fine if you're comfortable with that, knowing that you're going to get someone who's not a big name partner at a big law firm. Maybe you don't need that.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Again, it goes to, you can't compare your divorce to anybody else's. Right. If you have a relatively, you know, simple divorce where maybe both parties are, you know, pretty amicable, can communicate with each other, and just looking to get it done like a business transaction, then maybe you can get just somebody a little bit lower level at a smaller firm, maybe even a solo practitioner who's been doing it for a little bit and can get you through the process, right? So as opposed to somebody who's fighting over everything and you have custody evaluations and it's more complicated, then maybe, and it's not, and it's just a maybe, maybe you need somebody who has a little more, I don't know, not experience, but, you know, a little more influence.
Right. And again, it depends on who your spouse has hired. So, you know.
Exactly. I've actually helped on occasion. I've helped not only my client find an attorney for them, but I've also helped their spouse find an attorney because you don't want to do all this work and get somebody who you feel is got the right approach to your divorce, meaning quickly, efficiently, amicably, and then your spouse go out and hire some pit bull who's just going to mess that all up, because it really does take two to tango.
So
that's so important. Not only your attorney, but your spouse's attorney is extremely important. Gabrielle, I wanted to ask you, there's a section of your book where you talk about being not together, you know, about being not together and not apart during divorce, right? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, you're not divorced yet. You're not fully separated, or you may be physically separated, but you're still sharing bank accounts. You're sharing insurance, you know, policies. You're sharing vehicles. You have a lot of co-ownership, and you're in that limbo period where, you know, you don't know. Can I start dating? Can I, you know, am I not supposed to do this, or what am I supposed to do? And really, how to start to you know, begin your new post-divorce life a little bit early, within reason. So it's how to manage yourself when you're in that, you know, not married, not divorced place, which can be a little uncomfortable, especially if somebody asks you if, you know, are you married? Are you divorced? And the answer is no to each. But, you know, it's really a time that you can take to think more about what you want in your post-divorce life and prepare for that and take a breather and think, you know, maybe I don't need the big house. Maybe I don't need to keep the marital home. Maybe start looking at smaller homes or homes in nearby towns or rentals. You know, there was just an article in the Wall Street Journal about how this is becoming a renter's market, and that's okay. You know, it's nice to just know what your expense is going to be, and I'm not going to have a variable expense of needing a new heating system or types of, you know, expenses that go along with maintaining a home. And just think, take some time for yourself and think a little bit about what you want for your future and how to build that out.
Yeah, that's a great response. I also had a similar experience with somebody recently where they were going to sell the marital home because they couldn't afford to stay in it, which is fine. It happens. And they were really upset about it. But then when we started talking about and looking at, you know, renting, and renting can take the form of an apartment or a house, right? You can also rent a house. And that's actually what she ended up doing. And the benefits of renting are, it's no long-term commitments, right? You're flexible. So in the future, if and when the time comes and you want to move or change your living situation, you're a lot more flexible to do that rather than, you know, as opposed to having a mortgage and selling your house and doing it that way. So Right. I think it's all about keeping an open mind. And right, your life is changing when you're divorced, whether you wanted it to or not. So the more you can just kind of accept that and then open your eyes to the possibilities, a lot of times people really kind of, you know, get involved with that in a good way. And then they do see that, oh, I have a lot of options here that I never really thought about, but they're actually not so bad.
Yeah, and I think you need to shift your focus and shift your paradigm from I'm no longer in this marriage to I get to go and get a new home, or I get to live in another state or in another city, or I get to make choices around where I want to go on vacation. And this is what I want to get back to around the things that interested me before I was partnered with someone. So I think shifting your focus away from what you're losing or what you're leaving and focusing on where you're going and creating an opportunity and a path to get there is a really healthy way to look at any kind of transition. It's not just divorce. It's, you know, anytime you leave college, right? It's called commencement. It's a beginning. And you're leaving this really great 4 years of lots of fun and great relationships and friendships, and you're going out into the brave new world. And you know, it can be exciting and fun too. So really reframing the experience to be more positive. And I know it can be hurtful and it's hard and it's challenging, but just maybe doing one thing a day, buying a new, you know, set of sheets for your new home, wherever that is, you know, and just start preparing for where that will be. And you love these sheets and it's a crazy color and, you know, maybe some towels or something. I don't know, but do something that is going to help you move yourself along physically and emotionally and psychologically to the good things that are going to happen. And it's a process. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm just saying it's a process, and this is a strategy to get you to a better place.
Yeah. You know, graduating college, a divorce, they're what I would call life transitions, right? We all go through a handful of life transitions in our lifetime, and you have to kind of sometimes roll with the punches and learn to open yourself up to the possibilities. And a lot of that goes back to, like you said, your mindset. And if you have the right divorce team around you, your therapist would help you with that part of it. Right. And that's exactly what they're there for. And so you don't have to do this alone, and you shouldn't do it alone. And honestly, you shouldn't, you know, use your lawyer or your financial advisor for that part of it either, because that's not their role. So that's why we keep harping. Sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record and I harp on, you know, you need a team.
True. And I must say, Jason, you know, one thing to think about is when this process is over and your divorce attorney goes away, you're still going to have that team. You can continue with that financial advisor if you want to. You don't have to, but you'll have that therapist to continue the path in your post-divorce life to support you through everything you've been through, up and through the divorce, and continue with afterwards. So that's another reason to really use people that you can work with post-divorce, especially the therapist, because they've been through the process with you. Whereas your attorney is, you know, you're not going to call them for a session, especially at their rates.
Right.
But, you know, they're going to move on. So your therapist won't move on.
Right. No, that's a great point. Yeah. And right, your therapist, a financial advisor, if they're involved in your divorce, you know, depending on the nature of that relationship, you can use them and should use them after your divorce to make sure you're meeting your financial goals and you're on track to do whatever it is you want to do. Those are all, you know, important relationships that are good to maintain after your divorce is finalized. So that's a great point. Well, Gabrielle, it was so nice having you on the show to talk about your book. Where can people find the book and get their hands on it? Because I think they need to read it. I really
do. Oh, well, thank you. It's on Amazon and it's on barnesandnoble.com. It's an independent bookstore throughout the country, based on where your location is. It may or may not be there, but certainly it's on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. So thank you.
No, you're welcome. Again, the title of the book is, and if you're watching this on a video, Marriage is About Love, Divorce is About Money. It's great. I'm not just saying that. It's an easy read in a good way, and go out and pick up your copy today. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was, you dropped a lot of gold today. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason. Nice to see you.
All right. Another episode in the books. I hope you really enjoyed this episode of the Divorce Resource Guy podcast and learned a little bit about Gabrielle and how she helps you navigate the divorce process. I think it's extremely important. And you can feel free to reach out to her if you think she would be one of the objective professionals that could help you in your situation. If you're looking for help with your divorce, though, and looking for some coaching help, look no further. Contact me, Jason Lavoie. My email, jason@jasonlavoie.com. My website is jasonlavoie.com. And I offer one-on-one coaching and group coaching packages. So I offer free complimentary strategy sessions to see what's going on and if I can even help you and help to move you forward. So that's it for now. In the meantime, all I'm going to ask you to do is be strong, act confident, stay positive. I am Jason Lavoie, aka the Divorce Resource Guy. And I'll be talking to you real soon.